This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
The bird. You gotta respect it in 2024.
Facts.
You can't stop us. You can't convince me that we can't go all the way. Even with this year's team, with all the problems. You can't convince me that the bird still isn't the word. I'm telling you, I'm not going to believe it until the clock hits zero in the postseason and the fat lady sings. I'm not going to believe it. That's why I'm going to put my money where my mouth is in the online sports book. I'm going to make that bet. I'm going to make that futures bet, and I'm going to be celebrating when I get that money. Just saying. You know, this team could be like the 2022 Vikings, where they started off undefeated, won a bunch of close games, had terrible defensive numbers, and they got blown out at home. It wasn't the Cowboys. They did get blown out by the Cowboys, yes. And the Eagles got blown out by the Cowboys too, but on the road. But same thing. Terrible defense, bunch of close games, blown out at home, won the division, but then one and done in the playoffs. Everyone thinks that's where we're headed. But then you got the 2012 Ravens, who lost four of their last five. They finished 11-5, or I think 10-6. Yeah. Finished 10-6. Maybe 11-5. Nevertheless, they lost four of their last five games. They even lost a game in overtime. They also won a game in overtime, just like the bird. And guess what that team did in 2012? They won the Super Bowl.
What? Facts.
I don't see why this team can't do it too. The defensive stats say definitely the 2022 Vikings. But when you got a man named Jalen Hurts that brought my team back from 28-3, it is possible to turn things around in January. For real. Nick Sirianni, Lane Johnson, Travis Kelce, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Darius Slay. I believe in all of them. These vets are for real. And they can turn it around. We added Shaq Leonard too. I know he's been okay at best. But they can bring these rookies along. They can bring these struggling players along. And we can make it happen. Yeah, the defense still sucked. Yeah, we couldn't get the Arizona offense off the field. But it's okay. That was just one game. And I knew that game was going to be dangerous from the beginning. I don't know if I said this or not, but I said, if the Eagles play the Cardinals and they have Kyler Murray, it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a tough game to win. I don't know if I said that, but you know how I feel about that man named Kyler Murray. He was another guy that carried my Sooners in a great season, just like Jalen Hurts. So I knew he was going to cook. I wasn't expecting James Conner to run for however many yards he ran for. What, 200, 180? He killed us. But at the end of the day, you go and respect the bird. And that is the word. Also, the Giants game happened on Christmas, and I sweated it out. We were up 20-3. They decided to take out DeVito. The game was a dream until they took out DeVito and put in Tyrod Taylor. But what didn't help is we had a fumble deep in our territory, and we had a pick six. Didn't help. Hopefully, we put it to these guys in New York on Sunday, whether we win the NFC East or not. Now, this is so dumb. The Cowboys are going to win the tiebreaker simply because they beat Seattle.
What? Come on, man.
And we didn't. That is so annoying. Especially the way both games were close and that the Eagles gave that game away against Seattle. I mean, come on. I talked about it a few shows ago. Come on, man. Drew Locke was supposed to throw that pick deep in their territory. He got away with it. And then that pass he threw to DK Metcalf that he caught over two people, that was supposed to be picked. We lose that game. Shouldn't have lost. Dallas gets away with beating Seattle because Seattle, for whatever reason, decides to not block Micah Parsons at the end. It wasn't even the fact that they didn't block him. It was the play calling. The play calling was suspect and needs to be investigated. And it will be the difference between the Eagles having to go on the road the whole postseason and the Cowboys being at home for two out of the three, maybe, games in the postseason. I hate it. You got to be kidding. They're not that good. We might have the same exact record. But yet, all we had to do was beat Seattle. We would have been tied with, conference record, right? Or maybe we would have had the better conference record. And then I guess they would have had another tiebreaker. And we might would have won that. I'm sick. You got to be kidding. Tiebreakers killing me right now. But that's okay. So when the Cowboys lose, probably in the second round, because let's be honest, if they play Green Bay, they're going to blow them out. If they play, Lord Jesus, if they play against the Vikings, they're going to blow them out. The only two teams that might have a chance to beat them on Wild Card Weekend is the Rams and the Seahawks. And even the Rams lost by double digits in Dallas when they played each other. So, I don't know, man. I know this. I'm not sure if they're going to beat the Lions again. We all saw that game. We all talking about the refs again. But here is the problem. I don't even worry about the whole reporting thing. And whether or not Taylor Decker reported, it looked like he did. There's no audio evidence yet, but it looked like he did. However, according to Brad Allen, he did. They went over a pregame. I'm very familiar with referee pregames. That's the type of stuff you ask about. Trick plays. You go over it on every level. You go over trick plays in pregame, but you still have to report. But it shouldn't happen because the drive before the Cowboys got set back, drive got derailed because their tight end got called for tripping. He didn't trip anybody. Aiden Hutchinson stuck his leg out and they call it on the offense.
What?
Terrible. So those plays kind of cancel each other out. I know there's a lot of talk about Brad Allen's crew that has Sarah Thomas on it. Shout out to her. But you got to take care of business. The Lions threw a pick late in the game. And the Cowboys kicked the field goal. Wait. Or did they score a touchdown? I don't know. But they threw a pick late in the game. Like, you just can't. That gave you less time to come back. They hung in there. They hung in there long enough to make it a game and to get it to 1 point so that they could do that trick 2-point conversion. I love the aggressiveness, but after you got called for that penalty, should have kicked the field goal. I say all this to say that I like Detroit's chances in Dallas a second time in the divisional round. So I'm just assuming that the Cowboys and the Eagles are both going to win. I know this is deja vu from last year where we're in the exact same situation where Cowboys got to win at the Commanders, except this time the Eagles were not playing in Philly against the Giants. We're playing in New York. Giants, once again, well, unlike last year, the Giants this time have nothing to play for. Last year, they were in the playoffs. They were a wild card team. They didn't really have anything to play for. But they still play hard and almost won. Can't have it this time. Let's just beat them. I don't care what happens with the Cowboys and the Commanders. I'm going to keep it real with you. This seems like a game the Commanders win because a lot of these people are going to be out the door. A lot of these people are not going to be Commanders next year. But, you know, they have pride. The season has been terrible. They're on a losing streak. So why not beat your arch rival and ruin their chance of winning the division for the second year in a row? I would love that. That's unrealistic. At least last year's team was decent and had the capability of beating the Cowboys, and they did. This team, trash. Defense, worse than the Eagles. The only thing about their defense that gives me hope is that they have Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, and they are really good, and they can disrupt everything. Hopefully they do, because that is the only chance they have of beating the Cowboys. And our offense, man, run the ball. Keep their offense off the field. Throw it to Terry McLaurin, please. It shouldn't be hard. But we'll see. You know, this team's trash. So I'm not expecting too much, but I am definitely rooting for the Commanders like I almost always do when they play the Cowboys. And hopefully they get it done here at the crib. Now, let me look at this complete NFL playoff picture. So the Ravens look like they wrapped up the number one seed. Looks like they're going to have a bye. No problem. Same thing with the 49ers. Unless some nonsense happens where I don't think this is for real, but because it probably would have happened already, but the Lions win and the 49ers lose and Cowboys win and there's like a three-way tie, but I still think 49ers number one seed. And yeah, I know they were celebrating. They were celebrating because the Eagles lost and they officially had the number one seed. Man, whatever. Overrated. Yeah, sure. They can go to the Super Bowl. But I'm telling you, when they get there, they will lose. I don't care who comes out of the other side. So if they make it, they're going to lose. They ain't going any further than that. That's their ceiling. But I say, they're going to lose at home. And that would be awesome if they got upset at home in the NFC playoffs. That would be awesome. And I hope it's the Lions or even the Bird. Sleep on the Bird if you want to. Going to San Francisco, potentially. They can do it. If anyone can go to San Francisco and put it to these guys after what happened in the regular season, it's this team. I know it's not a good matchup defensively, but I don't see why you can't watch the tape, put together a game plan, and stop all this nonsense that they're doing. I just watched the Ravens do it. I saw the Bengals and the Browns do it. And the Vikings, they lost to the Vikings. Now, I know they had Kirk Cousins, but they lost to the Vikings. This is not an unbeatable team. Okay, y'all might want to put your money on Ravens and 49ers if you want, but I don't see it. There's a better chance of an Eagles-Bills rematch in my mind than Ravens-49ers. It might sound delusional, but seriously, these guys are overrated. Now, the Ravens look like the best team. They just blew out the 49ers. They just blew out the Dolphins. The Dolphins are the second best team in the AFC. Looks like it's going to stay that way. The Chiefs are a sleeping giant, even though they got a bunch of problems. But they got the best defense they've ever had since Derek Thomas. So that's going to be a tough out. The Browns, everyone's hyping up the Browns, but are we sure? I know I said the Ravens are slightly overrated, but are we sure? Okay, if there's any team that can go into Baltimore, because they already done it, and they're very familiar with the Ravens, if there's any team that can go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens, it's them. But if that matchup happens, I really believe that the Ravens will win. But here's the thing. Jacksonville will probably be the number four seed. Are we sure? I know the Browns already beat the Jaguars. Are we sure that the Browns can beat the Jaguars a second time? I'm just questioning a lot of the playoffs because from what I'm seeing, y'all hyping up the Ravens and the 49ers, rightfully so. They played well late in the season and they got the best records. Y'all just foregone conclusion put the 49ers and the Cowboys in the conference championship. Don't sleep on the Lions, the Eagles, or even the Rams, even the Seahawks. On the other side, you got the Ravens versus, if they don't lose to the Browns, y'all pretty much got the Ravens versus whoever wins the Dolphins and Chiefs. I'm pretty sure y'all leaning towards the Chiefs because of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So I'm pretty sure most of y'all got Ravens and Chiefs, 49ers and Cowboys. You know what I want to see? What happens if the Bills lose? If the Bills lose to the Dolphins, oh, by the way, they might be the number three seed, which would be great because I would love the number two seed. I would love to see a Chiefs-Bills, another Chiefs-Bills playoff game. I know it usually ends in the Chiefs winning, but this might be the year the Bills actually do it. And they match up with the Chiefs well. They always do. So I would love to see it. Dolphins, Chiefs, I don't know, man. I don't know how much the Dolphins can score on the Chiefs. We've seen this already. Both the Chiefs, Dolphins, and the Chiefs, Bills were pretty mid to low scoring games. But I would rather see the Chiefs and the Bills because of the history. And also, don't sleep on a potential Bills-Dolphins rematch in the playoffs after they play each other. I think they're playing each other Sunday Night Football on Sunday. So whoever wins the division. I can't believe we're at this point. That's crazy. So I'm not going to make any real predictions yet because my gut says Eagles and Bills rematch in the Super Bowl just to prove all y'all wrong. But we'll see. I don't know. That's what my gut says. All the stuff in between, I don't know. Okay. I got San Francisco, Philly. I got Cowboys, Lions. And then I got, obviously, Eagles, Lions. In Detroit's dangerous, but it gives a lot of 2008 Cardinals versus Eagles vibes. But I ain't worried. I'm not worried. Better team. We're the better team. It sounds crazy, but seriously. Okay, they're the more complete team. But I feel like the Eagles have just enough to win in Detroit if they have to. On the other side, I mean, screw it. I got the Ravens, man. I got the Ravens. I think it's going to be Ravens-Browns rematch, but I think the Ravens will win. I got Chiefs versus Bills, but Bills this time. Ravens-Bills, but Josh Allen comes to Baltimore and wins. And you got Bills and Eagles. And, of course, I got the Bird winning the bowl. Early predictions. Not official, but early. Oh, my God. The Eagles slid so far down Nick Wright's NFL tiers. They said they have 5-alarm fire. Oh, my God. Like, is it that bad? I know. We lost a bunch of games. The coaches are under scrutiny, and there's a bunch of concerning reports coming out of the Eagles locker room. And we have yet to play defense. But the Bird is the word, and they're going to make it happen. Just saying. Now, a lot has happened in college football. But I got to start with the Sooners. Man, what the hell?
Come on, man.
You made my brigade of Sooner Melts upset. Come on, man. 6 turnovers?
Damn!
That's terrible. And to be honest, we were fine until the last two. A fluke pick 6, which I don't know if Jackson Arnold threw the ball behind Farouk, and it just bounced up and ended in the Arizona kid's hands, or he just dropped it again. And then the last one, it's a 3-man rush. How did they run a stunt and get the Jackson Arnold and make him fumble? Tell me how that happens. You got to be kidding me. Thankfully, it's just Alamo Bowl. But looking at that game, Arizona was worse than I thought. But you know what? It made sense. Because a few days before, I'd watched them in highlights versus Colorado. And Colorado was winning. And then Arizona just took over in the fourth quarter because Colorado just fell apart. And they won by a game-winning field goal. So I'm like, what in the world? But at that point, I think they were like 9-3. So they had a pretty good season. And I learned very quickly that their quarterback, first of all, was really short. But he was very dynamic, very quick. Kind of remind me of a Kyler Murray, like a knockoff Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's quicker. Kyler Murray's faster. Kyler Murray got a better arm. But this guy reminds me of Kyler Murray and his band of receivers. It was annoying. I mean, they went up 13-0. Shout out to the defense for holding strong in the red zone and forcing these field goals until our offense got it together. They started off slow. The offense started off slow. Once we were able to run the ball and once we were able to get these big chunk plays, running and passing, especially from Gavin Sawchuk. It's a shame he got banged up at the end. Once we were able to do that, I thought he was going to run this team up out of here, even with the stupid turnovers. We got up 24-13 after being down 13-0. And then we give up 24 straight after scoring 24 straight.
Come on, man.
Trash. Frustration. Arizona wasn't even that good. Once we made those in-game adjustments, we looked like clearly the better team. But 6 turnovers is ridiculous. Gave them all that confidence, knowing we were the better team. Even without Dillon Gabriel. Even without Andrew Anthony. We was missing all these people. We were missing less people than I thought. We missed pretty much most of the offensive line. Okay. I didn't think that was a big deal until the end when they couldn't block a soul and they got beat by three people and they got five on the line at the end of the game. Other than that, they did just fine. Anyway, yeah, Sooner fans were upset. Yeah, Longhorn fans and Oklahoma State fans enjoyed us losing once again. But at the end of the day, a lot of us was encouraged because the future looked bright. Because Jackson Arnold did pretty good. He looked pretty good outside of the turnovers and stuff. Our rivals are laughing because he had all these turnovers. And at times he looked like he wasn't very good. But he played pretty well to me, ultimately. There's some things we got to clean up. That's what the offseason's for. That's what spring football's for. We're going to be fine going into the SEC. Y'all think it's a wrap. Y'all think we're going to lose four or five games a season. But y'all going to see what Sooner football is all about. We only got seven championships for no reason. You're going to see that we're one of the best of the best as far as football programs is concerned. And now we got that SEC bump. Y'all in trouble. Got Alabama coming to our house. Man, did you see them at Auburn? They needed a miracle to beat Auburn. But I'm going to get to them later. They barely beat South Florida. But then again, they had the number one recruiting class, so they're always going to be dangerous. But they're coming to our house, and they're going to see that coming to Norman, Oklahoma, especially when you're a team like Alabama, ain't a walk in the park. You're going to be in trouble. But that's next year. When it comes to finishing out this year, mixed feelings, mixed emotions, but it's all good. Oh, and congrats to Jada Coleman and Billy Bowman for getting married, the next big Oklahoma Sooners power couple. Just waiting for me and Kenzie Hansen. But she's probably taken. It doesn't matter. But anyway. Hey, yo. Oh, boy. I'm kind of encouraged. But, man, we should have won that Alamo Bowl. Got cooked for no reason in the fourth quarter. Terrible. Now, all right, some notable bowl games off the top. Clemson and Kentucky was real good. Clemson, nice comeback. The Military Bowl, Virginia beat Tulane. I knew Tulane wasn't going to come to the DMV and beat a decent Virginia Tech team. I don't care how many games they won, and it was raining. Come on. Now, what else? What else bowl games? Maryland stomped Auburn, and I loved it. I should have picked them, but I was too scared because Maryland is inconsistent. But, you know, it's Maryland, and I love to see them do well. I should have just went with it. Let's see. Because I'm trying to save the playoffs for last. Let's see. Liberty looked like they could hang with Oregon for a drive, and then Oregon just blew their doors off like I thought they would. Because other than Washington, Oregon pretty much put it on everyone they played. So it's no shame in getting blown out by Oregon because the mad scientist, Dan Lanning, is the truth. And you weren't beating that team. The only team that was beating them was Washington. Maybe Georgia if they would have played Georgia. Ooh, Georgia killed Florida State. I don't know how to feel about it. Because Florida State was using their what? Third string, fourth string quarterback, third string running back, whole second string receiving crew. I don't know what they were doing on defense. I don't know who they had on defense. Definitely didn't have Jared Verse. So, who's a first-round pick coming up, by the way? I mean, but 63-3? Come on, man. You couldn't fight to at least make this a two-score game? The talent difference is that much? Boy, ain't no way. I know pretty much half of their starters didn't play. And they didn't have their quarterback. Yeah, okay. But 63-3?
Damn!
Unbelievable. I wonder what the game would have looked like if they had their whole defense, including Jared Verse, who was supposed to go in the first round. I wonder what it would have looked like, because their defense has been pretty good all season. I don't know. Georgia could have easily been in the playoffs. I was thinking that from the beginning, but it's just, this wasn't the year to lose in the SEC championship. This wasn't the year. I think most years they would have got away with it and they would have been the number four seed and they might have beat Michigan. They might have gave Michigan a game, or they would have just flat out beat them. Alabama almost beat them. So I know Georgia could have definitely beat them, especially with weeks to prepare. That's still a really good team. Okay, they could have easily been in playoffs. And they straight up dominated Florida State. I don't know what Florida State was doing. Was it really that bad? Was their depth really that bad? I guess the committee was on to something. They didn't have the depth, and them having a third string quarterback in the playoffs, well, would have been second string. I think Rodemaker would have played if they made the playoffs. But I don't think they would have beat Michigan, even with pretty much most of your team would have been playing. I can't see it. They wouldn't have got blown out, though. Like, let's be real for a second. Would they have lost to Georgia with their full team minus Travis Wilson? That's the name, right? Travis Wilson. Listen, they probably would have still lost to Georgia, even with their full team. They would have needed Travis Wilson. And even with Travis Wilson, I'm not sure if they would have beat Georgia with Travis Wilson, because Georgia is just a different animal, just full of five stars and four stars. And then you got an amazing coaching staff over there. They would have been tough to beat regardless, but they would have put up a better fight, obviously. So I wouldn't be ragging on them about, rag on them about 63-3, because that effort is pitiful. But about missing the playoffs, I mean, I don't know if you can justify it with that. A bunch of them guys would have played if they got selected to be in the playoffs. A bunch of them would have played, and they would have at least put up a fight against Michigan. They wouldn't have won, but they would have put up a fight. So I can't really rag on them too much for saying, you got blown out in the, what was that, the Fiesta Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or whatever that was. You got blown out. You would have died in the playoffs. Oh, no. They would have brought it. And Georgia's a really good team. We're not giving them enough credit. They could have easily made the playoffs, just like Ohio State. They're both one of a kind. But Ohio State lost to Missouri, and that was hilarious. Schrader from Missouri, I slept on him. I didn't know he ran for that many yards during the regular season. He killed Ohio State, especially in the fourth quarter, which, by the way, it was a 3-0 game in the fourth quarter. I'm not even kidding. I can't believe it. Now, Ohio State was missing pretty much all their offensive star. I think they had a Mecca Abuka, but it didn't matter. No Marvin Harrison Jr., no Kyle McCord. I don't know who they had a quarterback. They had some kid who was wearing number 33. He got hurt. Then they put their third string in. He ain't do nothing. So it was just too much for Ohio State to overcome. But if they had their whole team, I'm not sure if Missouri would have won. But they played well enough to win that game. And it was huge for their program. And their coach was hype. I see why people want to play for him. That dude is insane. But, man, what a win for Missouri. Even though, it doesn't mean but so much for Ohio State. It's still Ohio State, and they're going to be tough to deal with in the long run. Let's see. The playoffs. All right, let's just get to the playoffs. Michigan won. They tried to give it away. They were down 20-13 in the fourth quarter. Jalen Milroe's legs were just too much. Anytime he was in trouble, he was able to pick up first downs or close to first downs. Defensively, Alabama was able to basically keep Michigan at arm's length. The turnovers from Michigan were dumb, especially the special teams turnovers. But when they needed a play, Blake Corum, Roman Wilson, J.J. McCarthy, and that vicious pass rush of Michigan, they came through. Just like the Ohio State game. When they needed to play, that D-line, they came through. They were all over Kyle McCord that last drive. And that's how they won, and that's how they ended up at the Rose Bowl. Something vicious. And then at the Rose Bowl, in overtime, well, first of all, their offensive line ran through Alabama's defensive line in them two plays like a hot knife through butter. And Blake Corum killed him. And then Alabama got the ball back. Easy first play. I think they kind of stalled. And then they came fourth and goal. Timeout, Michigan. Timeout, Alabama. And then I think Michigan comes out in some man-to-man blitz look. Hold it. I think Alabama comes out in a two-wide single back with a tight end, I believe. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So, fourth and goal, they run a QB power type play, and Jalen Milroe trip, and then the game is over. Most people was making fun of it. Some people posted the Madden drawing of that play and laughed. One dude said it was an RPO. It looked like an RPO because the running back motioned out and a DB followed him. It looked like an RPO, but it wasn't. Nick Saban said it was a design run. The tackle got blown off the ball, pushing him into the quarterback, and he tripped. Also, there was a pulling guard, right? And honestly, if he's able to, first of all, it was a bad snap too. So if he was able to catch the snap cleanly and the tackle gets any movement on this DN, there is a pulling guard going into the hole and there is one person there and he overran the play. You had a DN that overran the play, and then you had another like linebacker that was kind of in the hole, but I feel like the guard would have kicked them out. And as long as the free backer at the end doesn't catch up with Jalen Milroe, that might have been a touchdown. That play might not have been as bad as we thought it was. It was just executed poorly. And you don't like to see that. You don't usually see that with Nick Saban teams. But they fought. They had a great chance of winning. They had a fourth quarter lead. They definitely deserve to be there. No shot at Florida State. But seriously, Alabama played well enough to win that game. They just couldn't get it done. But they definitely deserve to be there. A lot of people picked them to win. But you can't win when you only pass for like 150 yards. Now, to be fair, Michigan had like 5 sacks in the first half. Their pass rush is unreal. Their secondary is pretty good. So I can see how Jalen Milroe, who ain't really that great at throwing the ball, would have a game where he'd only throw for 150, 160 yards against this defense. But they still had a chance to win. That's the crazy part about it. Now, the other game, I knew that would be more fireworks. I think Washington went up. Was it 14-7 or was it 14-0? But they were up early. And Michael Penix was just, it seemed like almost every pass he threw was on the money, pinpoint accuracy. It's just a minute or two highlight reel of him just dropping the dimes, sidelines, between the safeties. One-on-one, man-to-man. this guy, and his receivers are pretty good too, like Rome Odunze, who is going to be a first-round pick. Hopefully, he doesn't end up on a team I dislike, because I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. I kind of would like to see him on the Chiefs. Like, he would instantly be the number one receiver for the Chiefs. It would be unreal. Him and Patrick Mahomes would be sick. One of these guys on the Ravens would be sick. Like, you got to look out for that, too. But Texas came to play. Every time it looked like Washington, who had a decent pass rush themselves, every time it looked like Washington was going to pull away, Texas was right there. They made a play. They forced a turnover. And at the end was comical. It was more comical than Michigan and Alabama because, I mean, come on. Well, it's not comical that the Washington player got hurt. But Texas has no timeouts. In the final minutes, I think Washington got a first down late in the game, and I was like, it's over. It's over. And yet, somehow, some way, kid gets hurt, injury timeout, no runoff. So then Washington punts with like 50 seconds to go instead of 25. I'm like, what? Weird. And then Washington gives up some chunk plays. The running back made a great sideline catch. I knew he caught it from the beginning. I don't even know why they spent so much time reviewing. They tried to feature Adonai Mitchell a lot late in that game, but eventually Washington was up to the challenge because Adonai Mitchell, like I told y'all when I was previewing Oklahoma and Texas back in October, September-ish, I said, this guy's like 6'4", 6'5". He could be a problem. So, of course, they're trying to get him involved. I think he made a pretty good catch or two. And then at the end, they try to get it to the end zone. Nope. And then it came down to what? Fourth and goal, kind of like Alabama and Michigan. Tried to throw it up to your mans. Got knocked down on some Richard Sherman and Michael Crabtree type nonsense. Boy, I was relieved. I was relieved because it looked like Texas was going to steal this game. They were marching right up the field with the limited time they had and no timeouts. And at the end, I said on Twitter, because it looked exactly like the Eagles Commanders, where Eagles let Commanders drive all the way down the field, 5 seconds to go at the 10-yard line. Everyone's in the end zone, yet they allow Sam Howell to throw a bullet, and now we're in overtime. The same thing could have happened. They were a little far back, though. They were like at the 20 or something, maybe the 25. Same situation. Everyone's in the end zone, yet he's one-on-one with a cornerback. I'm like, how? Thank God. Well, shout out to Washington for bringing the pressure the last three plays. They brought the pressure. They got home the first time. This time, Texas was more prepared. They blocked it up. If Quinn Ewers stepped up and threw a back shoulder fade, Adonai Mitchell catches it, and I'm heartbroken because that means Texas would have won, and they would be playing on Monday on my dad's birthday. And I would be sick. But thank God, Quinn Ewers didn't have time to do that. All he had time to do was throw it up because he had a 6'5 receiver. And it almost worked. But then it didn't. Some people said it was pass interference because he kind of played through his back. He barely touched them. Relax. Washington won. The dream scenario happened. Michigan won. Washington won. I didn't care who won the Michigan-Alabama game. I didn't have a problem with either one. But Michigan had gotten so close before, I wanted to see them get over the hump finally, and they did. And I don't know what happened with the cheating thing, but there's no way they're cheating this year. There's no way. There's no way to know for sure. But yeah, these guys finally did it. And then Washington beat Texas, anybody but Texas. We can't have them having success at all. They lost. I'm happy. They're at home watching the championship with us. And we got a little bit of extra bragging rights because we beat them in Dallas. Even though we didn't make the playoffs, we beat them in Dallas, and we have more Big 12 championships. So we was able to talk a little bit. And I love it. Great playoffs. Still didn't top last year, but it was pretty close. That was pretty good. And I'm glad I was able to sit down and watch all of it. I enjoyed myself, and hopefully the championship is way better than last year. I think this will not be that much of a mismatch. I think these guys, I don't know, really good offense, really good defense. It's just going to come down to the trenches at the end of the day. Michigan, if they are dominating up front, they're going to keep the Washington offense off the field if they can dominate up front. And that's just not going to be good for Washington because it's just going to be a low possession game, a low scoring game, or like a mid-20s game. And I don't think Washington can win that. But we'll see what happens. Great playoffs. Hoping for a great championship. And yeah, that's all. That's all on that front. Man. Oh, now the Wizards. The Wizards are still trash.
Facts.
Sad times to be a Wizards fan. But I think they beat Brooklyn. They beat Portland. They lost to Atlanta, which is fine because Atlanta got Trae Young, and that's my guy. I watch him grow up since high school. So I have no problem losing to Trae Young when he had 33 and 14. Like, he did great. Like, it is what it is. Atlanta Hawks are my second favorite team just because of Trae Young. And DeJounte Murray killed it too. And I'm planning a trip to go to New York to see Trae Young at the Garden March 5th. I can't wait. He going to kill it. I hope he does. And, you know, the Knicks fans are going to be crazy. Or maybe, once again, I'll overrate the Knicks fans and forget that New York is a giant place. And it could be on a random Tuesday where too many rabbit fans got too many things to do and they won't be in the building and it won't be as live. I'm hoping that's not the case. And I'm hoping it's another really good Knicks and Hawks, Trae Young at the Garden type of matchup. But yeah, Wizards lost to them. The Wizards got blown out by the Warriors. The Wizards got blown out by the Raptors. The Wizards got blown out by the Kings. Like, these guys, oh my God. It's tough to watch these guys. And now it is Kuzma trade talks. Wait a minute. They played Orlando too. They were doing good against Orlando. And then, of course, the Magic were too much in the end. Now, shout out to the Pistons for ending their winning losing streak. They had a 28-game losing streak. 29, I think. And they broke the record. Unbelievable. And yet, the Wizards are only 3 games ahead of them. I just have a feeling this tanking just ain't going to work. Who are we going to get? Ron Holland? Matas Bouzilas? Who else coming out? It ain't. I just was set on Matas Bouzilas, but I don't know if we're going to get him. I don't know. There's some kids coming out in this draft that might be better than him. So we'll just wait and see. This ain't looking good. 6-26. Terrible. I don't hear any signs of Wes Unseld Jr., nice guy, great guy. I don't hear any signs of him leaving. And guess who we play on MLK Day? The Detroit Pistons. This is not a hypothetical. This is real facts. This is a real game. The 2 worst teams in the league on MLK Day, 3 o'clock. And guess what the dessert is? Guess what is after that? Morehouse versus Howard. Boy, that's going to be some great day. That's going to be a great day for some basketball. And I can't wait. But we better win that game because Kuzma said you just don't want to be that team. And yeah, we blew them out the first time we played. But the basketball world is going to be paying attention to that game, and we better not lose. We better not lose because we've been turf. And people think we're going to lose this game. So we better take care of business. Now, shout out to the Caps. Shout out to the Caps. Losing to these New York teams. But what's great about it is they beat the Penguins. The Penguins are my hated rival. It's a shame that my girl Gabby from 10Gage/Twitter and my other girl, Texas Beer Goddess, forgot her name. They like the Penguins. I'm sick that they like the Penguins, but they lost. And they lost at home. And the Caps were up 4-0. And the frustrating part about it is they gave up 3 goals in the second period. But thankfully, I tuned in, ESPN Plus. Thank God I have it. Might get rid of it for budgeting reasons, but I have it. I had it, and I watched the third period, and the Caps were holding on for dear life. They only got like 3 shots on goal. Couldn't even get an empty netter. But they held on. Tom Wilson was all up in the faces of Crosby and Malkin. Boy, I loved it. I love this guy. I know the rest of the league don't like him. I love him. This guy is something. He is one heck of a hockey player. And he jacked up Sidney Crosby, and I was dying. He grabbed his shirt, and when he got close to goalkeeper, he grabbed his shirt. And I loved it. He jacked him up. Oh, man, what a game that was. The Caps held on. 2 power plays, 2 penalties, and the power play kill was awesome. They got rid of that. They averted that crisis. And you know what? You know, the Penguins had their extra man at the end, pulled their goalie, still wasn't enough. The Caps held on 4-3, beat the Penguins, started a new year. Man, it don't get no better than that. I love it. Hopefully we can use that as momentum and keep going. And hopefully break the cap cycle and get another trophy. I want it. I need it. I got to have it. Or at least get to the conference finals. I know it's a lot to ask, but why not? I know right now, if I'm not mistaken, we're the last wild card. And if the playoffs are today, we will be playing the Bruins, who are running away with the Eastern Conference. Again, doesn't look good. I don't think we're as good as that Panthers team was last year, but anything's possible in the playoffs. Trust me, I know. I've seen the Caps choke so many times. So why not? Why not beat the Bruins? Why not? I would love to see that. The Eagles Super Bowl odds dropped another 100, plus 100. So now they're plus 1,200. Just making me more money. Because you know the bird is the word. And you know they can do it. They can do it, I'm telling you. All right, now the last thing I want to say. No GOAT level combo, but I drew some inspiration from a graphic that Johnny Manziel shared. I think someone on Twitter was like, who are you cutting from this graphic? You had, in their prime, you had Tim Tebow at Florida, Cam Newton at Auburn, Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M, Lamar Jackson at Louisville. They all won a Heisman. Cam Newton and Tim Tebow they have natties. Well, Tebow won 2. Unfortunately, the second one was against Sooners. I'm sick about that. even back then when I wasn't even a Sooner fan, but I still wanted Oklahoma to win, and they didn't. What else? Cam Newton had the season of all seasons in 2010. Basically, I agree with Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel said he cut himself out of it. He will be the one cut out of this group. But I thought about it, and I was like, okay, Lamar Jackson almost won two Heisman. So did Johnny Manziel. And I'm like, it's between those two. They both lost a bunch of games. Even though they put up great stats and won the Heisman, they didn't win a game that really mattered. Neither one of them did. So you could cut out either one of those guys. But to just foregone conclusion, cut out Johnny Manziel, who was a beast in college. Trust me, I know. I talked to some of the OU players before that Cotton Bowl against Texas A&M. They were tired of hearing about Johnny Manziel. But when the game actually happened, they couldn't stop him. So the guy is the truth. But that ain't the point of me mentioning that. It got me thinking. Cam Newton's 2010 season was unreal. He had the year of all years. And I was thinking about also other people who had great seasons. Like Joe Burrow in 2019. He killed the Sooners. I was there. He had a great season. Adrian Peterson in 2012. I think he got hurt in 2011. He had 2,000 yards, almost broke the record. I looked at it. He had 10 games over 100 yards. And in a span of 3 weeks, he had 409 yards in two games against the Packers. He destroyed them. I'm sure Emily was happy about that. But nah, she was legitimately happy when they beat them in a wild card and Adrian Peterson didn't even have 90 yards. So, yeah, he had the season of all seasons. And then I compared that to me. But before I get to that, we just got to marvel at how amazing these guys were in their respective seasons. Look at Cam Newton, AP Player of the Year. Davey O'Brien Award, Heisman Trophy, Manning Award, Maxwell Award. What else? Walter Camp Award. Hey, Landry Jones won the Sammy Baugh Trophy. I don't know what that's about, but nice. Unbelievable. Major awards. Unreal. And they won a national championship. Now we look at Joe Burrow, AP Player of the Year, Davey O'Brien Award. Heisman Trophy, Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, Manning Award, Maxwell Award, Vince Lombardi Award, Walter Camp Player of the Year Award. Like, these guys had magical seasons. What did they do the season before? I don't know what Cam Newton did the season before. No one talks about his 09 season. I think he was at a junior college. Joe Burrow at LSU in 2018 was just mid. These guys had the season of all seasons, and it propelled them to the number one pick in the draft. And they've been, well, Cam Newton had a pretty good career in the NFL, and Joe Burrow has done pretty good so far. But they had the season of all seasons in college, and I compared that to me in eighth grade when, sure, I choked in basketball. We lost in the tournament that we hosted against a team we beat twice. Whatever. Track, I was the best discus thrower and shot put thrower in my age group. Choked. Didn't win either one. Football, we had a great second half of the season. Lost in the championship to a team that beat us twice. That's sports. But in school, though, I left eighth grade, right? I had a pretty good seventh grade year. Eighth grade. Award ceremony. 14 certificates. Bro, I had 14 awards. Damn! Bro, I don't even remember what all of them were, but I killed it. And I was a salutatorian. Magical season. Magical school year. I was on cloud nine. And then, of course, unlike Joe Burrow, unlike Cam Newton, even unlike Adrian Peterson, who went on to continue to be productive and build his Hall of Fame career, and high school humbled me, and I kind of was up and down. But even in high school, I ended that with a good chunk of awards and honor roll at the end. Anyway, I was thinking, I was like, man, what did eighth grade me do? What did Cam Newton, Joe Burrow, and Adrian Peterson do to have the magical season? What did they do? I know in my case, it started in seventh grade. Like, I really enjoyed what I was learning. I really had a passion when I was learning. I was really focused, and I really wanted to do good. Not only to stay off punishment and to play sports, but I was really into what I was learning, and that helped. And that's why I was getting those good grades. And then I kept getting good grades, and I wanted to keep getting good grades. It was dopamine and passion. And then, okay, Joe Burrow, Cam Newton, Adrian Peterson. I think, first of all, they had insane talent. That helped. But also, they had a great supporting cast, especially Joe Burrow. They had a great supporting cast. Well, even me, man, you know, I had a great family, church, had great friends around me. That was a great that made school enjoyable. Love being around those guys. Love hanging around those guys after school and stuff, and playing sports with them and video games. You all had a great supporting cast that supported us and helped us be great. And maybe that's what helped make their seasons be magical and make my little eighth grade run be magical. But I'm like, how can I do that and apply it to this year? How could I achieve all this stuff and everything I want to and, have a smile on my face most of the year? How could I do that this year? Like those guys and like little me, right? How can I do that? It's just, I got to make things fun and I got to focus. I think all those guys were focused. They were driven. Even me in eighth grade, I was focused. I wasn't, when it comes to schoolwork, I wasn't really digging around. It also helped that I wasn't playing video games. I didn't get out much outside of sports. And every now and then with my friends on the weekends. So, focus. Goals, passion for what you do. That's the most important thing, passion for what you do. And a good supporting cast, I think you put all that together and you can have the year of all years. You can have a great 2024. I can have a great 2024 because it's just overdue. I know I don't really have any momentum other than, just having time by myself and thinking about things and, getting somewhat closer to God. Stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not much momentum going, but we can generate it. I have some stuff to work with. And it's early. You can get started now. And you, if you want to have a great 2024, maybe set some goals, or maybe, make your life more enjoyable, have fun, and be passionate in whatever you're doing, even if you don't have goals. And I think that's how you have a great 2024. And that's what I had to do. I had to do the comparison. Can we look at these stats real quick from Cam Newton and Joe Burrow? Oh my God. Just real quick. This is the last thing I'm going to do because this is crazy. Let's see. 2019. 5,671 passing yards. 60 touchdowns. 6 interceptions. That's Joe Burrow.
Damn!
Unbelievable. All right, now let's look at Cam Newton to close this thing out. Let's look at Cam Newton just to close this thing out. The good old number two. Here it goes. Okay. 2,854 yards. Oh, my God. Passing? Really? 30 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. All right. That doesn't sound great. But what about the rushing? Good Lord. 1,473 yards, 20 touchdowns. That's 50 touchdowns total.
Damn!
Okay. I see what you're talking about now. Unbelievable. Wow, I might be inspired now. I might be inspired to have an amazing 2024, but we'll see. We'll see. Hope to start this blog to keep myself accountable and to keep you updated on the blog, on the brand and the happenings of the brand and trying to grow it. We'll see. But for now, it's Mr. Van Pugh. GoatLevelTees.com. Now be on the lookout. I don't know how long I'm going to have this domain. I don't know how long I'm going to have Shopify. But for now, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. And you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.